Paddy Power and the Football Show, the greatest football partnership since Duff and Heskey.
All right, you're welcome along. John Giles is live with us in studio, as always, on a Thursday. A lot to get through with the Republic of Ireland games against Georgia and Switzerland, and a lot of interesting stories in the Premier League. Evening, John.
Evening, Nathan.
We'll get on to Ireland and the possibility that, well, who knows, this time next week, Republic of Ireland may have qualified for Euro 2020 if everything went right.
Fingers crossed.
But there's a lot to talk about in the Premier League, from Manchester City losing yet again, Tottenham and their capitulation against Brighton, and also Manchester United, where we might start, because I was at St James's Park last Sunday, where it was a 1-0 win for Newcastle, just their second win of the season, but it wasn't really a smash and grab. It was, and you'd have to say, a thoroughly deserved win for Newcastle. It leaves Manchester United in the bottom half of the table. It's their worst start to a season for 30 years. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer still hasn't won away from home since he was appointed permanent manager. What's gone wrong?
Well, I don't think it's just happened this weekend, Nathan. I think when you get a match like you did last weekend against Newcastle, it's not what happened on the day. You have to go back a long time, first of all, to see where the team is at now compared to where it should be at. You know, that was a poor team, and they played very, 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 very poorly. So that hasn't just happened overnight. You know, there were warning signs, I think, at the start of the season when Sanchez left and Lukaku left. They weren't replaced, and they're very, very weak up front. And indeed, weak in midfield, Nathan, in my opinion. You know, they don't have they're pretty much weak all round. I know that sounds strange, but for Manchester United to be in a position, like, I think McTominay, for example, is probably the best midfield player at the moment.
He's been seen as the one who's maybe stepped up and shown a little bit of character over the last few weeks.
He's not good enough to lead them. You know, he's good at what he does, but he'd want another two top-class midfield players in to really do what he can do best, which is to help them out, rather than being what I consider him now to be the main man in midfield. And I think it's just gone from bad to worse. I think Solskjaer is in a very, very delicate position, and he hasn't been helped, I think, at the higher end of the Manchester United directors. They've got three lads in who have been good players, James and Maguire, and that they're good. Good signs. The right back is a good signing, but they're still very, very short, Nathan.
So the fact that Maguire and James have been two of the more impressive performers, and Wan-Bissaka right back,
yes,
when he's been fit,
good lad, yeah.
Does that suggest actually that Solskjaer, if he was let do what he wanted to do in the transfer market, actually has enough about him to get Manchester United back to the level? If he was given the money to spend to replace Lukaku, that he would choose the right players?
Well, you'd have to go back to the situation that if and when Ferguson, go back to Ferguson, when he was undoubtedly in that position. I don't think Solskjaer has ever been in that position since he took over. So when it comes to the big decisions, he's not making them, Nathan, because I don't think the board trust him. You know, he certainly doesn't give the impression of being a really established manager, that this is what I'm going to do and this is what I want to do. You know, the three signings were good signings. Whether they were his signings or not remains, I would doubt.
So do you think with the case of somebody like Lukaku, who people did have question marks whether he was able to deliver at the very highest level for United, that maybe he was a bit of a flat-track bully against some of the lesser teams, that if Ferguson was in charge, Lukaku wouldn't have been allowed to leave unless he had a replacement ready?
Yeah, well, I think it wouldn't even take a Ferguson to do that. You know, it's only common sense. Lukaku mightn't have been the best player in the world, but he was the best centre-forward they had. And they don't have a best centre-forward now because they've sold him on. In other words, you don't sell him on until you get somebody lined. See, Solskjaer's been doing the job, whatever it was, 6, 7, 8 months, 9 months. It doesn't take that long to know who you want, right, when it comes to the close season. In fact, in the close season, I think he was away on his holidays, Nathan, most of the time. I think he should have been at Old Trafford. And the correct thing for the club would have been for Solskjaer to be at Old Trafford and the Woodward, is it Woodward?
Edward, yeah.
To say, who do you want? Let's go and get them now. As soon as the season finished, that should have been the priority. That's what Ferguson did. Like, if you go back on Ferguson, he had the players in 2 or 3 weeks after the season finished. That's what he wanted. That's what he got. End of story. Solskjaer wasn't, I don't think he was in on these signs. I don't think they would even ask him, who do you want, who do you not want? I don't think he had any say in it.
Surely there's no way, though, Solskjaer, when they're having their end of season meetings, he isn't standing up, from what he saw over the final months of last season, saying, we need central midfielders. Yeah. That even if Pogba stays, if Matic stays, and if McTominay is coming through, we're massively weak in the middle compared to other teams in the top 10, never mind the top four.
Well, what I said before and what you're saying now is one as bad as the other. Mm. Say he was there.
And they're not listening.
And they're not listening. That's just as bad as him not being there. You know what I mean? Manager's a manager. And a manager dictates what should do, dictate what's going on.
So what are his options in that position? If that did happen, what I'm saying?
Well, I think his best option would be to say, I finished. If you don't have the power to do what you need to do and you want to do and you're not allowed to do it, Nathan, it's only a matter of time before you're kicked out.
Do you think he took the job, though, on the understanding that actually he wouldn't have that power?
Well, that's just as bad. In other words, you shouldn't take the job in that understanding.
It's Manchester United, if that's the only way you're going to get the job.
No, I can understand what you're saying. It's a big club and everybody would love to have the job. But he's been in the game a long time, Nathan, and he'd have to be told or knew that you might be a manager, but you're not going to have these powers, right? You're better, in my opinion. You're asking me what he should have said. In my opinion, he should have said thank you, but no thank you. Because it's gone to, look, if you see it on his face now after the match the other day, Nathan, and he can't say, hang on a minute, I haven't been in charge of this. Can't say that. Well, he can say it, but he's not going to last 2 minutes saying it. And then people would say, well, why did you stick it for that long? So he can't say anything, right? So the job should have been done early on. You know, like, this is what I need to be manager of Manchester United. It's a huge job, right? So again, if you go back to, if it was Conte taking over, if young Ferguson taking over, would they have accepted those conditions?
Well, everything we've seen of Ferguson would suggest not.
No, and Conte, you know, because they're men who say, no, I'm a, you know, they're leaders, they're general. I don't be too hard on Solskjaer. He seems a nice lad, and I don't think he was ever the man for the job, despite the fact they did have a good run of results. No doubt about that. But that's one element of taking over his position that he was in. But then you have to go from there. Now you have to have a real manager, in my opinion, to say, this is what I want. If I'm going to be head of this club, this is what I want. I don't think that's the case, right? And now he's stuck with it. As happens, any manager that takes the job under those conditions, Nathan, is not going to succeed. They fail, and then they get the boot. Now, I can understand, Solskjaer, this is a big club, and this is where I was before. I'll work around that, and I'll work around that. I've seen it so many times. But the fact is, when it comes to certain situations, whereas the incoming of players and the outgoing of players, right, you don't have the power in that particular area, it's almost inevitable that you're going to fail. Because say for granted, they say, well, we're bringing Joe Bloggs in. And Solskjaer says, well, I want him and him and him, right? He's no longer in charge, and he's no longer getting the players on the pitch that he thinks will do the job for him. Now, it's been a mess because he's got those three players on, but there's another four or five players needed that he hasn't got anyway. Now, whether that was his fault or not, I don't know. But the fact is, it hasn't happened. So he's the one. The manager is always the one that's going to take the hit. Doesn't matter what he can say when he leaves, well, I didn't have the power and I didn't have this and that. But he's the manager will always take the hit. And I think at the moment, Nathan, I don't think he's that far away from the sack, to be quite honest.
Right. So they play Liverpool straight after the international break, which was the final nail in the coffin for Jose Mourinho a year ago, was a defeat against Liverpool. There seems to be an understanding almost among Manchester United supporters that maybe Solskjaer isn't to blame, that Ed Woodward is the one who wouldn't go out and sign those four or five players that they needed, and maybe because of his legendary status at the club, they're willing to give him that little bit more time. Do you see any way that Solskjaer can turn this around?
No, because they still need players. Is he going to get the players in that he wanted? You see, we're well into the season now. All this should have happened in the summer. Now, if it didn't happen in the summer, it's not going to happen now, right? Because as soon as the season finished last week, he should have been sitting down with Woodward and saying, Woodward, these are the players I want, right? Can you get them for me? These are the players I want. I don't think that happened. I think Solskjaer went on his holidays, left it to Woodward, And Woodward did what he wanted to do. And again, I keep going back in management. Any manager that takes out, you don't get two managers alike. You don't get two managers agreeing on who's a good player and who's a bad player. So anytime a manager takes a job, it's his decisions. In his mind, he has, all managers have a vision of what they want and how the team should play. And the only way to fulfil that vision, if that's the right word, is to get the players on the pitch that you want, right? It's no good. Somebody says to Solskjaer, I want Joe Bloggs in left-hand side midfield. Well, no, you can't have him, but you can have him. And he's saying, well, that's not the vision I have for the team. So he's gone. You know, like, you have to be true to the vision that you have of the players. Everybody, like, if you take Klopp and Guardiola, they're totally different managers. Both of them have different visions of what they want in the team.
But do they not make players that they have better?
Well, you can go so far on that. Of course you can make them better. But if the players are not that good in the first place, you're not going to make them better. Say an average player. You're not going to make him a brilliant player. You'll make him a better average player. If you've got a brilliant player, then you'll make him a lot better because he's playing with other players who go along with what you want the team to do. In other words, if you can say, that's my vision of the team. I want Joe Bloggs on the right-hand side. And you can see it. Managers see it. Now, sometimes they're right, sometimes they're wrong. But the only chance you have is to see what you can do. Then you're judged. Say in Solskjaer's case, he wanted three midfield players, him, and it doesn't work out. That's his fault. And he takes responsibility for it. But it's terrible for managers who want him, and they get him, and they don't do well. Like, if you go back to Arsenal Wenger, right, when he was near the end, they were going to get a director of football. And what he said, I don't mind taking responsibility for the players that I bring in, but I don't want to be taking responsibility for players that I haven't brought in. And I think Solskjaer is in that position. And I think he did sign on for that, Nathan. But once he signed on for that, then that's it. He has to stick with that. And to be quite honest, I've never seen it work in management.
I got to say, being at the game, I was quite shocked at just how bad Manchester United were, particularly in that midfield area. And you do look at maybe the better teams in the Premier League, the likes of Wolves, who have a very good central midfield, the likes of Leicester. But this was the Newcastle side, who were second from bottom, who'd won once all season, who started the two Longstaff brothers, 121, the other making his first ever appearance for Newcastle. And they sort of bullied him in midfield. Like, are you shocked by how far United have fallen in the space of 5-6 years since Ferguson left?
No, I'm not shocked. I'm not shocked at it because I think on the conditions that Solskjaer had and the conditions in which he took the job, I think it was inevitable. You see, last Saturday's performance, was it Saturday or Sunday?
Sunday. Yeah.
Didn't just happen on Sunday, Nathan. This is a build-up over a good period of time that you do get to that particular situation because players in the dressing room, they know what's going on. They know this is not going where it should be going, right? So now you lose the morale, you know? And I think we spoke about it. You can't define morale. The morale in the football team, in my experience, was the manager knew what he wanted. He got the players in he wanted. The team was playing. They were given everything they got, and they believed in the manager. Then you have a morale in a good dressing room, right? I think Solskjaer made a comment after the match. He said, the way you lads are going, you're going to get me the sack. Which is true.
Yeah.
But what can he do? It hasn't suddenly come to that position. Manchester United haven't suddenly come to playing against Newcastle the way they played. That's handled been coming over a period of time, Nathan, where you get the lads in the dressing room or even among themselves, you know, we're not doing it. You know, the manager's not doing it. And then at the back of all this, Nathan, you've got the Pogba problem. You know, Pogba is still one of the main problems at Manchester United. And Solskjaer a few weeks ago said, I have never had any trouble with Pogba. He's a great lad. He does his training. He does this. He does that. And he's a terrific lad. But Pogba is the same lad a few weeks ago. Was definitely looking to get to Real Madrid or one of the big teams. Do you know what I mean?
Or maybe Solskjaer's looking and thinking, that's his agent and actually Pogba at training is okay.
But if the agent, you can play in a certain amount. But there's no way the agent would make some of the comments that were attributed to Pogba without Pogba's permission. There's no doubt about that. No, the Pogba is in the position. And the thing is, even when he is playing Nathan Pogba, he's not the player he's supposed to be in relation to the team. He just isn't. And I think if let's put it this way. Say Ferguson was in charge of that team at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Would Pogba still be there?
Well, if Ferguson saw value in him, he'd still be there.
No, but if he would played
the way he played last season.
He played for Manchester United. He wouldn't be there. In fact, Ferguson got rid of him 8 or 9 years ago when he was a young fella because he saw his attitude wasn't what he wanted at Manchester United. Now he's back. There's no way Ferguson would live with that or any of the top managers live with the way Pogba. They say out because you're trying to build a team. And you tried to build a team with the right characters and everybody pulling together. That hasn't been the case. And I know what dressing rooms are like. When things are not right, it seeps in, it gets worse and worse and worse. And then eventually you get what you got at Newcastle.
Mm.
Didn't happen overnight. That's been coming for a long time now for Manchester United.
So that's United. Manchester City find themselves 8 points behind Liverpool now.
Yeah.
Beaten 2-0 by Wolves at the weekend. Second defeat of the season after losing to Norwich earlier in the season.
Yep.
Is that injuries? Is that not making the right signings? Is that morale at Manchester City that's an issue?
It could be any one of those, Nathan. I'll only give you what I think is the thing. First of all, he didn't sign Maguire in the summer for whatever reason. He definitely didn't strengthen up. But what happens with a club? Like they say, success doesn't last forever. Nathan, you know, they've had a great run. They had a great run. They were going for the third title, and I think he's done remarkably well. But it does get to the stage where the team goes over the top. You know, Aguero's not getting any younger. Mm. Fernandinho's not getting any younger.
David Silva's into his 30s.
He's going to finish at the end of the season, which is not good. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think David Silva should have made that statement because you're talking about team morale and everybody knows no matter how he plays, he's going to finish at the end of the season. So those sort of situations occur in football and it happens very quickly.
Mm.
Like, Liverpool now are on the up and up. You know, you can see they're a team, they're on the up and up. They don't have any players coming to the end of their careers in that team. And also, they don't have a David Silva situation, right? So it doesn't last forever. You know, Manchester City have had a great run, but it could well be that they've now just gone over the top now.
And that actually the players who are coming through aren't to the standard. So the succession planning, I guess, at City would be that Aguero is into his 30s, but Gabriel Jesus is next in line.
Yeah.
And David Silva isn't there, but Bernardo Silva is starting to step up. And Vincent Kompany's let go. John Stones and Aymeric Laporte are there.
Yeah.
That between injuries and maybe some of those players aren't quite at the level of the ones who are moving on.
Well, it's very hard to get to that level immediately, you know. And also the situation at the back is a different situation all there, because apart from Kompany, they haven't had a really top-class defender. That's why I'm amazed they didn't.
Not put Laporte in that sort of bracket if he's fit.
He's okay. He's not an outstanding player. He's not a Van Dijk. He's not a Kompany. You know, he's not a Maguire. He's okay. But what they need is outstanding defenders like the ones I've just mentioned. Mm. They don't have them, Nathan. You know, and the thing, the way Pep plays, it's well, we'll attack, and the defenders won't be under so much pressure. But if you get to the stage where the people that he's dependent on to attack. And not attacking as much anymore. Now you've got a big change because you're going to lose more goals. Like success, wherever it is, it's very fragile, Nathan, you know. Like, that's why when you look back at Ferguson's record and other people who had longevity in their management career, it's absolutely outstanding.
Mm.
But if you look at over the years, the Fergie team, you know, he was buying players at the right time, he was fitting them in, and then he kept it on the roll. And it was taken for granted in many ways. You know, it's a very, very difficult thing to do. And I think Pep is coming across that now in that team, as we've seen this season, and the season is not too far on. But it's not the same Manchester City team as we saw last season. They've already suffered two defeats. Mm. And even against the top teams, you know.
Yeah, they've racked up some big scores as well, obviously. But... And we're heading into a month where, like, Liverpool, 3 of the next 4 games are Manchester United, Tottenham, Manchester City. So we'll see where they land after that. The problem, I guess, for Guardiola is that defensively, the players aren't going to come back. Have you seen enough of him? And listen, he's achieved everything he can achieve, that he can mould players into a defensive shape that can just get them through the next 3 or 4 months?
Well, he hasn't done it so far. And I can't see him being able to do it now. And it's, again, it's not just the defenders. I mean, the defenders paid the price because the attackers who were on the attack all the time, you talk about Aguero and Fernandinho and David Silva. You know, we don't know yet, but they might be past their best. We'll only know in time when they're past their best. But it's very seldom that in the run-in against Liverpool, they didn't lose a match. I think they had to win every match, right? And that was even against the top teams. But Norwich beat them this year, and Wolves beat them the other day. Now, Wolves are a very good team, but they're not one of the regarded as one of the real top teams, and certainly Norwich would didn't. So that's just over a season. And in football, like 3 months can be a four months, 5 months can be a long time in football. If the team, if it is, gone over the top, you know, it can happen very, very quickly. You know, teams that have been champions, and unless you replenish, and I don't think he has really replenished, particularly at the back.
It can turn very quickly, as we've seen at Tottenham, and I know we've spoken a lot about Spurs the last couple of weeks, because it's getting progressively worse. And then Aaron Connolly arrived for Brighton on Saturday and did some serious damage to really intensify the pressure again. Only once in their 11 games this season have they really performed. That was in a victory against Crystal Palace. Spurs still haven't won a Premier League away game since against Fulham back in January. Mauricio Pochettino, his reputation, it feels like it's still intact, that if Solskjaer was to go, he would still very much be in the reckoning. If Zidane was to go at Real Madrid, he'd still very much be in the reckoning. If he were to stay, would you back Pochettino to turn this around over the course of the season?
I wouldn't like to be putting money on it. And again, that hasn't happened just now. This has gone back quite a while with Spurs. First of all, they weren't buying any players, and he was under pressure. If you go back to the start of the season, where he said, I don't want to be named as the manager. I want to be named as the coach. Because what he was saying, in effect, there, they also have a couple of guys down there, along with the chairman, that sits talking about transfers. Mm. And Pochettino and that would have one vote. So the chairman will always get what he wants from it, and that's why he made the statement. In other words, if you bring players in, they're not brought in my name. I'm only going to be the coach. So if it goes wrong, don't start blaming me. That's, in my opinion, what he was trying to say, or did say, right? So that's the start of the season. And I think I might have said to you before, I played in the Leeds team, it was successful. It's very difficult to win trophies when everybody's pulling together, right? And when people are not pulling together, then it's almost impossible. And I think that's what's happened with Pochettino over a period of time. Don't forget, he made a statement the last week, you know. He said different players have a different agenda. Now, that's talking about his own players. Mm. And it has to be a different agenda. I have it written down here with Pochettino. Rose is not obviously not happy with that. Alderweireld, Vertonghen, Eriksen. All their contracts are running out. Right, that shouldn't happen at a club like Spurs. How can a player like Eriksen, for example, be totally committed to Spurs when he knows at any time, and everybody knows, he wants to get away? Mm. How can he be committed? Now, he's coming into the dressing room every day with Harry, a few of the players are established.
The players were there for a long time.
What's gone through his head? Right, because you're not pulling. You couldn't be pulling together. Vertonghen's contract is going to run out. Alderweireld's contract is going to run out.
Does a good manager sort all that out? Does he bring them all in?
No, a well-run club doesn't get into that position. You shouldn't have to be working on that. That's what he'd be complaining about all the time. Why hasn't the chairman backed him to get these contracts sorted out? And if they're not going to be sorted out, get them out. You can't go with a team. Dyer is not in the team. Wanyama's not in the team, right? So there must be 6 or 7 or 8 players at Spurs in the same dressing room as the lads who were there for forever, or think you are. Because I know from my own experience as a player with Don Revie, you had to believe the manager was going to be there forever. Now, you knew realistically he wouldn't, but that's what you had to believe that season. We're all together. He's going to be there forever. So therefore, we're a settled team, and that's where you get morale, right? Now, if Don Revie was making the statements that Pochettino was made, we as players would say,
what's going on?
He's gone. Where's he gone?
Yeah.
Right? And then you've got the centre-half across the I'll say it was big Jack Charlton. Hadn't signed his contract. Right? I've signed my contract in a few days and said, what's he up to?
And what are you doing if that situation develops as a senior player? If you're Harry Kane in that dressing room and you're seeing this as a player, is there anything you can do about it?
No. You can only go out and do your best, but you're not together. You know, that's the morale. That's the morale of the team where everybody's going to, come on now, when we're all in the same boat, we're going to be here forever. We've all signed up for another 2 or 3 years. That's where we're going. Now, you take it if you were a player, Nathan, right? You were Eriksen, right? And you knew, everybody in the summer knew and looked like he was going to Real Madrid, right? and he was prepared to go. But it didn't work out. Now you're back in the Spurs dressing room, right? Can you imagine what's going through your head at that time? Be like, what am I doing here?
Yeah.
Not, I'm delighted to be here.
Let's go and win the league. Let's kick on again.
Let's get stuck in there. And that. And Harry Kane on the other side would be looking across. If Reiskin doesn't play well, what's he up to? You know, how can he be pulling like we're pulling if he wants to go? Like, it shouldn't happen. And you'd have to blame the CEO, because I think he's responsible, actually, for an awful lot of this. He's a hard nut business. I don't care. We let him go, or we don't give him this, we won't give him that and that. And that's why Pochettino, again, I go back to a set at the start of the season, I don't want to be known as the manager, because I'm not in charge of the situation, right? And what he's saying, I'll be the coach, because that's what he was. I mean, the manager, like Ferguson at his best, would say, I want Joe Bloggs, or whoever it is, and I want him out. Get rid of them.
Yeah,
right?
And that'll be the end of it.
End of story. Now you've got everybody pulling together, including the manager. Pochettino, I said at the meeting, said these particular things. We can't go with Eriksen. We can't go with Alderweireld. We can't go with Vertonghen. The contracts are up. We've got to do something about it. And he wasn't allowed to do it. So he's not managing the club anymore. Now it comes to Brighton last week, and people say, what's gone wrong with Spurs? Hasn't gone wrong on the day, Brighton. It's gone up because it's a build-up of the last 6 months. And that's the problem. It doesn't happen overnight. You know, like Manchester United display at Newcastle didn't happen on the day. That's becoming over a period of time. And that's why you have well-run clubs and clubs not well-run. The great thing about sport and soccer in particular, well, in my opinion, soccer, it manifests itself on the pitch. If things are not right off the pitch, Nathan, it manifests itself with performance on the pitch. If things are right, you see it on the pitch. That's one of the great things about sport and football. There's no hiding it. You can't hide it. Pochettino, I'd say, was in bits over what happened on Saturday. But he knows this was coming. And that's why he'd leave tomorrow. Actually, if I was Manchester United, I'd go for him now.
Right. Don't wait around.
Go for him now. And people saying, well, he signed a 5-year contract. It's going to cost, what was it, 30 million, 40 million? Pay it. They've no problem paying 90 million.
For a centre-back.
Do you know what I mean? And a manager, and it's happened over the years, over a long time. What was Fergie's value to Manchester United over the 25 years, right? It was worth a lot more than Pogba's 90 million. Because he was the manager, and the manager's doing his stuff. He's the most important person in the club. So if they have to pay 30 or 40 million for him, and he does what you'd expect him to do, it'd be peanuts, Nathan.
I do want to talk briefly about the Republic of Ireland before we finish up, and mentioning that Spurs game, everybody's incredibly excited about Aaron Connolly.
Yeah.
19 years of age, first Premier League start, comes in, scores 2 goals, wasn't in the squad initially. Mick McCarthy, it seemed, felt, well, I'm not going to bring him if I'm not going to use him. Yeah. But obviously he's seen enough in that performance that he feels he had to bring him in. And now we all want to know, should he be starting? Okay. Would you throw him straight into the starting 11 against Georgia?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I mean, he took his 2 goals. That's the first time I've seen him, Nathan. But it's not as if we're that well served for front players.
No.
We're not. And Connolly doing what he did at the weekend, we haven't seen one of our forward players doing that. And don't forget, it was in the Premiership against Spurs. So definitely. I mean, if I always found if you're good enough, you're old enough. If you're good enough, you're young enough. It doesn't matter. Get out there and play. And I think we spoke about it before. And
yeah.
I mean, I go back. I don't talk about myself. I only played two matches for Manchester United when I made my debut for Ireland. And I was just short of 19, right? Like, I wouldn't care about the age. If you're ready for it, you're ready for it.
The way Mick McCarthy, it seems, looks at this is and he's obviously very experienced at international level. You're going over to Eastern Europe. It's an intimidating atmosphere that, for all Aaron Connolly has done, he'll never have experienced anything like this, standing there at the anthem for the first time, that it might all be too much.
I don't think so, Nathan. I think if you have it, you have it. You know what I mean?
You don't think the occasion, the debut, any of that plays into it?
No, because, you see, in Connolly's case, and again in my own case, he's been playing football all his life, you know? He hasn't suddenly become a footballer. He's gone through the under-12s and 13s and 14s and 15s. He wouldn't be where he is today if he didn't have the temperament to handle those particular situations. Like when he first got in the youth team, or if there was a youth team at Brighton, Now he had to show.
Prove himself again.
And you find with players that the players who really are real players, Nathan, there's a show off in them, right? They want to show everybody how good they are. They don't be thinking, what will I do today if I play badly? That thought is not there.
What you saw in that one, it's incredibly hard to judge on one game. Did you see that nice bit of arrogance?
Oh, yeah. Well, he wouldn't have done what he did. Mm. This is against Spurs. I know because Spurs weren't playing well, but against the top team in the Premiership, right? He scored two goals. Second goal was a brilliant goal. He showed a great intelligence to make the run in the first place. If he hadn't got football intelligence, he would have been still standing where he was standing and nobody could find him. Mm. He saw the space, went for it, which shows you this kid has a brain. You know, he's a footballer. Now, he might not play well in the match, depends how the team plays. But what I've seen of him, I wouldn't have any problem whatsoever putting him in there. Doesn't mean he's going to be a great success. But what I've seen of him, I would definitely put him in. And players, see, all the players that I ever knew were top players. They were very modest individuals. But they had this inner belief to cope, as you say, with the scene of playing your first inning. You want to show off. And I don't mean dancing on the ball, but mentally, I'm good enough to do this. And I want to show people how good I am. That's what the top players have. If in Connolly's place, or Liam Brady's place, who came in very, very young, they wouldn't be where they are, Nathan, without that feeling. You know what I mean?
That's Could you understand if McCarthy was thinking like that, that it's too much, too young?
Well, he hadn't.
Yeah, have you seen a lot of managers who do approach young players in that manner?
No, I never put the age into it. Never anybody was too old or too young. Is he good enough? Then he's going to play. I think, to be fair to Mick in this case, I think he might have seen him playing at a certain level, and it's very difficult to judge then. Mm. What's the level like? Is it not good? This is international football, but he saw him in a Premiership match against one of the best teams in the league, and he didn't look out of place. Anything but. He was cocky. Well, he wasn't too cocky. He was confident. He scored his goals well. So that's what you see. Obviously, that's the first time Mick has seen him at that level. I'm sure he's seen him before playing in the reserves. But if he plays well in the reserves, then the level is not very good. But when you're playing in the Premiership and you score two goals, then and we're not that well off for strikers anyway. If I were manager, I'd have no problem playing him straight away.
Yeah, and look, I might well be doing Mick a disservice, as you say. Probably wanted to see him play a first team game.
Yeah.
And he was the man who threw Robbie Keane, Damien Duff in at a very young age. So if he sees that sort of calibre there, he may give him the chance.
He saw him in the Premiership, Nathan. Like if he didn't see him in the Premiership, then he's having a guess. It's only a guesswork. I saw him playing in the reserves. Well, the standard of the reserves mightn't be that high, especially wouldn't be that high in relation to playing against Spurs on a Saturday. First of all, he's shown a temperament, right? Even if he didn't score, is he shown the right temperament? Is he getting on the ball? Is he going to do this? Is he going to that?
Yeah.
Or is he hiding away from it? Which he wasn't. He seems to be a very confident lad from what I see him, and that's not very much. But I'd have no doubts about putting him in, or anybody in that situation. If they're good enough to be old enough, and he made his debut, well, I think he played before in the first team. Mm. But if you looked him on for Brighton at the weekend, he looked an experienced player. And you get lads like that. You know, I've seen lads of 25 come into the team, and they're shaking. So you know they're not going to do it.
To wrap up then, the other probable talking point in team selections at left back. So Shane Duffy, it seems, has made a miraculous recovery and has flown in from Brighton and is going to go straight out to Tbilisi with the rest of the
squad.
Which is good.
Which is
brilliant
good,
and again shows the desire that he has to be a part of this. Left back, is it straightforward for you, Matt Doherty? Because there's talk that maybe he might move James McLean back there.
Nathan, I can't understand this about Doherty. Doherty played a full season, I think, when Wolves got promotion. Mm. At left back, I saw him, and he played brilliantly. So what's the big deal of switching from right back to left back for lads that can play? Of course, he's right footed, but I've seen lads who were left footed playing at right back, and it was a great asset to them because they could come on the left foot and open the pitch up. You know what I mean? But good players get into the right position. You know what I mean? Mm. Don't be caught out. So they have time to get it onto the right, and he's that type of. I'd have no problem. I don't see what the big deal is about Doherty playing at left back. Because he can play in the same team as Colm. They're two good players. Mm. I know Stevens is out. Stevens has been very, very good. But I'd have no doubts about Doherty playing at left back. None whatsoever.
What are you expecting from these two games?
Well, again, Doherty's come into the team, and I don't think it's weakened. It could have strengthened it, in fact. And you've got Connolly now, with fingers crossed, right? I think if he gets chances, he'll do it.
There's also a bit of a wild card element from, like, Georgia won't have seen a huge amount of Aaron Connolly. Switzerland won't have seen a huge amount of Aaron Connolly. Like, they'll know exactly what to expect from James McLean. But if you're throwing Connolly in there, either from the start or with half an hour to go, they won't have done a huge amount of research on him, you'd imagine.
No. Well, research is only, it's actually a very small element of the game, Nathan, to be quite honest. Because I've seen managers and coaches say, we've seen them and we've seen their weakness. You know, don't look at their own weakness. I always felt in management, if you put your own weaknesses right, don't worry about the other team. Because if you put yours right, you'll expose their weaknesses anyway. In other words, obviously, if they've got a dummy of a left back, then you hit him. You know what I mean? But generally speaking, you know, I've heard it so many times. I watch the other opposition and they do this wrong, they do that wrong, that wrong. And the manager in his own team hasn't put their own things right. You know, the main thing is, if you get all the players in your team, and this was always my take on football, if you get all the players doing what you want them to do and play as well as they possibly can, don't worry about the opposition. Respect them. But don't be making your plans for the opposition. You know, make your own, get your own team, get your own house in order. And that's very difficult to do, to get your own house in order.
4 points, you'd be happy with that?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah. But I'll tell you what I like with Mick, that. And like you would say to me, 4 points, take it. But what I'd be trying to say to the players, if there's 6 points there for the taking, let's take it. Because, again, I might have said to you under Don Revie, I played in many, many matches abroad. Don was a bit negative, a great manager, a bit negative like that. A draw would be a great result before you went on the pitch. And I played in many, many matches that we should have won, but we didn't, because you weren't expected to do it. Whereas I'd always think, even with Mick McCarthy, let's go into it with an open mind.
Maybe Switzerland will be atrocious.
Exactly. If we have to defend for 90 minutes, we'll defend for 90 minutes. So when we get an opportunity to attack, don't sit, let's go. Let's go at them. There's nothing better than scoring a goal. Now, the manager has to do that. The manager has to be brave. I don't think it is brave, but I think it's regarded as brave.
Yeah.
Look, take it on its... I know I used to get piss taken out of me on television. Take the game on its merits. Because when you're going into a game, Nathan, you're assuming this will happen, that will happen, that will happen. And I played in games where the total opposite happened. So you have to go with that. Don't be in a state of mind, if we get a draw today, it'd be a great result. We had a lot of that. We played in Georgia. Remember the first match? We were 2-1 up. We were 2-1 up after. They were there for the taking. We didn't take them because going out, well, Georgia was a fortress and they did this and they did that and the other. Right? On the day, they weren't. But you have to take advantage of that. So I think Mick's attitude going into games is good. Like, I think he doesn't say, I mean, obviously, if he's saying privately, would you take 4 points? Yeah, but you won't say that to the team.
Yeah.
You say, look, if it's there for the taking, let's go and take it. And if we have to defend for 90 minutes, that's what we'll do. But don't be coming off the pitch saying, they weren't all that good. Mm. I had that with the Irish team when I first got into it, beating 3-0. And then we're sitting in the dressing room after saying, geez, they weren't that good.
Showed them too
they?
Much respect.
You know what I mean? Yeah. They were beaten before we went out. And I don't think this is quite like that. But in Mick's case, the manager, if he says, look, these are okay, but they're no better than us. Mm. On the day, if it's there for the taking, let's take it.
All right, John, good stuff. We'll talk about it all next Thursday night.
Thanks, Nathan.
Paddy Power and the Football Show. The greatest football partnership since Geoff and Heskey.